from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
As Hyder would say, the Bobster and the Vin Man.
I like our guys.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Now the set of the pitch, swinging a line drive, base hit left center field. Abrams around third will score. And listen to the Nationals fans here at Oriole Park. James Wood delivers. And the first pitch from Keegan Aiken is lined into left center field. A base hit toward the gap. Chasing to cut it off, Kowser. Wood trying for second. The throw is offline. And Wood in with a pop-up slide and his fourth hit of the game.
I thought my stuff was about average tonight. I think I did a decent job getting to two strikes, but I just couldn't put guys away today. I mean, I've faced these guys a lot in the past, and it seems like they've always had a good approach.
Yeah, we're really inconsistent. You know, we're giving up way too many runs. Tonight, I didn't think our bats were real good. Give credit to their starter, but we're just really out in front of off-speed pitches a lot. You know, besides the 3-0 homer by Santander, we had another opportunity. Second throw went out, didn't score. We're not moving the line offensively enough.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster this week here with Vinny Serrato. Nolan Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Sending your favorite female artist or band songs to the text line. Quick Draw will handle it from there. That audio you heard courtesy of Nationals Radio Network. Nats, they take the first of two in Baltimore, 9-3. Not a good night for the Orioles. On the pitching front, Trevor Rogers, another bad one for him. 5 innings, 7 hits given up, 5 earned runs, 2 strikeouts, 2 walks. Never really got going. That Nationals lineup gave him problems right from the beginning. C.J. Abrams, 3-for-4 on the night. James Wood, 4-for-5 on the night with an RBI. Shapiro, 3-for-4 on the night with an RBI. Vargas, 3 RBIs on his 1 swing. I mean, it just went bad for the Orioles. And we had a Nats reporter on yesterday, Bobby, who talked about how that Nationals team struggles with power. And he was right. For the most part of the year, they have.
Yep.
But Nats games are usually high scoring. And the problem with the Orioles right now, who happen to be one of the better teams in baseball when they're on, when they're not on, their offense is just non-existent. They did have the 10 hits last night, but nothing to show for it. I mean, you look at it, runners in scoring position, 1-for-7 last night for the Orioles. I feel like it's the same song and dance every time, not getting good at bats when they have guys on base, when they have guys and runners, when they have runners in scoring position. And defensively, it's still, they're just as inconsistent on that side as they are offensively these days.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, they played small ball yesterday early. Mm-hmm. You know, Mullins bunted, got runners to first and third with one out, and then Holiday struck out. Pitch was outside. And then Urias made out. So, I mean, then they went quietly out of that inning. But like you said, I mean, they were doing a really nice job, the Nats, mm-hmm. hitting the ball to the opposite field. I mean, Wood was unbelievable. Shapiro, yeah. First at bat in the majors, three doubles. He hit the ball well. So, yeah, it was a tough thing. And then, like, in the first inning, what was Mountcastle doing? You know, I mean, Norm, you were at the game. You know, where's he looking?
Well, he was still packing up at that time, watching the TV there at Pickles. And I thought, oh, okay, they got him in a rundown. Great, mm-hmm. inning over. And then the reality sets in. Oh, wait, you can still score on that, even if it's an inning ending out. And I'm still standing there screaming, that's the stupidest rule in baseball, but a biased fan observing. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't count as an error, but chalk that up once again to poor defense or just poor situational awareness that this team has right now.
Yeah, they just don't seem to do anything right these days. And then you go to the bullpen, Brian Baker. He gets out there. It didn't look good for him either. I guess the one bright Aiken as well. I mean, Aiken didn't have a good outing either.
Nope.
Soto, and it's probably the first time we've been able to say this since he's been in Baltimore, was kind of the highlight of the night. Gives him a clean inning, including a strikeout on eight pitches. You'll take three outs on eight pitches for Soto, considering what it's been for him for the most part of the season and what it's been for him since he's gotten to Baltimore.
Yeah, and seven strikes of the eight pitches. Mm-hmm. And I listened to, I don't know if you guys listened to Hyder's interview after, or I watched Hyder's interview after, and that was kind of the highlight of the press conference was, you know, he talked about, man, Soto was great, and we're going to need that kind of thing. Whereas, like, with Baker and Aiken, he was like, they didn't pitch very well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then with Soto, yeah, if we can get that from him down the stretch, that's going to really be big for us.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. I'm not going to beat up on the guy. You'll take a good outing any way you can get it. But, I mean, Hyde, you also chose to use this guy in a game you're losing 7-2.
Right.
So it's not like he went out there and got him 1-2-3 in a tie game in the eighth against the Yankees or something. It was a game that you were already pretty much conceding, and your bullpen moves reflect that. Baker, Soto, Aiken. I mean, you didn't use any of your premium guys here. You pretty much waved the white flag.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, I mean, I don't want to nitpick because Soto's been so bad. And it's like, we don't, none of us want to see him. I mean, we all got on these airwaves and complained when he put him in there in a true high leverage situation. So we don't want to see that. Right now, the trust meter is on E when it comes to Soto. So, yeah, I mean, you don't want to see the team getting dominated on the scoreboard, but that's kind of the lone situations right now that he can kind of find his way onto the field. This is just these are the games that we've been saying that the Orioles need to win. They're now a half game back on the Yankees now with the Yankees winning last night. So you're now looking up at them in the standings again. And look, the Yankees win yesterday, but none of us can sit here and say that it's a guarantee that they're going to win their next game. Both of these teams are inconsistent, but that's why I felt like it's imperative for the Orioles to try to win these types of games, because the schedule changes drastically for the next couple of series. They're going to be playing some competitive teams here coming up, while the Yankees have an easier schedule. So that's been my issue, the biggest issue with the Orioles the last couple of weeks. They're not taking advantage of some of these inferior teams that they've had on their schedule that they're supposed to beat up on.
That's the biggest thing, is to win the games you're supposed to win, you know, and then split the ones you're not supposed to win. And you're going to, I always felt that way in football. But, you know, if losing to the Nats, and they got a huge series with Boston coming mm-hmm. up, because Boston can get right back in it.
Yeah, that's the thing with these four game series in your division, man. They loom large. I mean, another positive last night, Anthony Santander mm-hmm. gets his 36th home run of the season, setting a single season record for most home runs by a switch hitter in Orioles history. I mean, his great season continues to go on, and obviously he's in a contract year, and it's funny how those things happen in sports. You get to your contract year and all of a sudden you're having the best year of your career. But to his credit, he's been steadily improving year after year after year in his career. I don't think that this is a one-off. I think this is who Anthony Santander is, and whether it's the Orioles that extend him or he goes somewhere else and gets a contract, I would feel confident in who, if I'm the guy giving Anthony Santander the money, I would feel confident in the type of player I'm getting. His work ethic is there. He's a good guy off the field. And it's, again, it's not a one-off situation. You can look at his career and see the steady improvement year after year.
How many years you get? The length of the deal is going to be the issue.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think anybody's given him more than 5 years. And that's
and he's big. What, 29?
Yeah, he's 29
so
right now.
So he's going to be 30 for next season. So you'd have him for 30 to 34. I guess that's the decision that you're going to have to make. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, like Joe Gibbs always used to say, Cordell, whatever you think it's going to be, it's always more.
Oh, yeah. Especially in baseball with no salary cap. I mean, it's no telling what some of these teams will do.
Right. It just depends who's in the market.
Mm-hmm.
On paper right now, we're not even at the offseason, but yeah, I mean, a switch hitter with that kind of power, plays mm-hmm. solid enough defense in the outfield. You're saying who wouldn't want that kind of guy on their team? But when the market actually gets down to business, it could be just a couple teams that are actually seriously in on him. And I hope that the Orioles are one of them.
Well, you know what may happen is people look at Santander and say, you know, Soto wants $500 million. We can get Santander for, you know, pennies.
Honestly.
You know, on that. And we're getting similar production. So are we better off? And he's a better outfielder. Are we better off going for Santander for the next 3 years instead of Soto? I mean, because Soto is going to be $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's going to demand a lot. I mean, he is a franchise player.
Oh, yeah, three homers last night.
Yeah, he's a true franchise player. He's won a World Series. He's one of the best young players in the game. So without a doubt, he's going to get his money. And, yeah, that could be kind of the blessing in disguise for Anthony Santander. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll continue to talk some Orioles baseball. Orioles, definitely, you heard Brandon Hyde say it, they've been inconsistent here as of late. Which team is the real Orioles team? Is it the one that we saw last night? Is it the one that we saw at the beginning of the series against the Rays? Which Orioles team do we believe is the real Orioles team? 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in as well. That's next on the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fan. Another loss for the Orioles last night, getting blown out by the Nationals at home 9-3. And Vinny, this has been one of the more inconsistent teams in baseball. Granted, a lot of teams in baseball these days have been inconsistent, but the Orioles, really, you just can't put your finger on them, it feels like. As soon as you start to feel like this team is starting to break out of it, and the next day, there they are again, kind of not doing the things that they do well. Continuing to struggle in some of the areas that they've struggled in all year.
I think it kind of started, I don't know, maybe it started earlier, but I think it kind of started with the Cubs series right before the All-Star break. And, you know, because you figure, all right, we've got Cubs coming in and they were not playing great, you know, win two of three or win the series. No. And then they've been kind of inconsistent ever since. I mean, since the All-Star break, they haven't done anything. And I don't know if it kind of correlates with Gunnar having one home run since the All-Star game.
I mean, that was...
Rutschman hadn't done much either.
I mean, Rutschman's offense has... He had two hits last night, which you'll take for sure. But yeah, I mean, their stars have been inconsistent. I think we definitely have to start with the injuries, because that's the biggest issue with them. The rotation has kind of decimated to this point in the year. You've got one real starter in Burns. I mean, Eflin is there. I don't want to discard him. I'm talking about from their original rotation. You got two guys in this rotation right now that you somewhat trust. One in a possible, I'll say. I think for some people the jury may still be out on Eflin. I'm satisfied to this point, but we'll see how it goes on. But he and Burns are the only two people I feel like are worth mentioning in this rotation. They could get swept by the Nats with Kramer on the mound tonight. That is not out of the realm of possibility. It's honestly not. I have zero trust.
Who's pitching the Boston series? At least Burns is pitching one of the games.
Yeah. I mean, Burns will be out there for that. Let me look at
Suarez. Looks like it'll be Eflin, Burns, Suarez, back to Rogers.
And then back to Rogers on Sunday.
Sunday. That's a tentative. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you feel good. I mean, and Suarez, to his credit, Suarez is there when you need him. But in reality, we don't know what we're going to get from Suarez each and every outing. I mean, he's been good here as of late again, and I don't have a bad word to say about him. But just in reality, there's no guarantee that he's going to go out there and pitch lights out. I mean, he could have a three-inning day. So that right there is the number one issue. And then you've got, you know, you got guys like Westberg that are on the IL right now. That hurts. They still haven't gotten a lot of consistent play from some of their vets that they've leaned on the last couple of years. And we're trying to figure out, you know, which version of the Orioles are the real Orioles. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm seeing the bad side more than I'm seeing the good version of the Orioles here recently over the last 2 months.
You know what? Hyder made a good point in the pregame last night, because they asked him, you know, why the inconsistency around baseball. He says the injuries of the pitchers.
I mean,
he says around the league, that's the issue, pitching. And, you know, look at the Yankees, look at all of them, and they all have the same issues.
It would definitely make sense.
Dodgers.
Not dismissing it at all, but, I mean, the Orioles have had a bulk of their injuries earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they were just not necessarily getting lucky, but if it just reached kind of a breaking point for them. It the Westberg one that kind of set them over the edge? Mm-hmm. Or I guess you could say Grayson here recently, or Jacob Webb. Did it just become simply too much to handle? But I mean, a lot of those guys you mentioned, Bradish, Wells, Means, that happened months ago.
Right.
And they were able to sustain success through that time, even before they made their trade deadline acquisitions. They were good.
That's when they were killing it home run wise, and so they were scoring a bunch of runs.
So yeah, I mean, maybe it was just a mirage at the time that the power was kind of overcoming that, but I wouldn't say that the lineup's terrible right now. They're not producing, but I mean, you're still got guys that are giving you good at bats. I just don't know why it's not all clicking. I mean, if Gunnar's not hitting for power, it's not necessarily a bad thing. He's still hitting for average. Adley's not hitting for power, but he's a little bit better than he was last month. Some of your newcomers have been good. Jimenez, talked about Holiday, how great he's been. Kowser, besides last night, has been great. So I don't think it's like this team-wide lineup slump. It's just they're right there. They're right on the edge. They just can't get over.
I feel like these guys, just glancing back over the schedule to this point, I feel like they have not fully recovered from that crazy June. You look at it, I'm looking at it right now, and the first five-game losing streak came in the stretch of June 21st through the 25th. They get swept by the Astros, and they drop 2 of 3 to the Guardians. They go on to win 4 straight. Then they lose the next 2 out of 4. And then the week later is when they get blown out 19-8 in the start of July to the A's. Then they get swept by the Cubs. They lose 2 of 3 to the Yankees in the mid part of July. It just felt like the combination of the injuries adding up and then that brutal June, I think that's what caused them to kind of limp into July. And they just have not been able to fully recover since then. They've been pretty much treading water. And yeah, they've had some of these young guys like Jackson come up and kind of fill some of the void a little bit. Kyle's are getting hot again has helped. But all in all, obviously, I think Gunnar and Adley offensively is the two biggest blows they have right now, because Gunnar was out of this world good for the most part of the first half. His power numbers right now, I think, are showing he was in a different stratosphere in the first half of the season. Adley's consistency offensively, which he's had for the most part of his career, not just this season, but for the most part of his major league career, it's kind of left him. We don't know what we're going to get from him on a nightly basis.
Plus, the one-run games have been killers.
Yeah, I mean, and that I mainly attribute to the big fella not being there, Batista.
Yeah, but you knew last year that he wasn't going to be here.
So. There's no excuse. I mean, they thought they solved it going to get Kimbrel.
I know, but the thing is, you know, he couldn't get it done in Philly.
I know.
You know, and he's not getting younger.
I know.
So why do you expect him or you know what? Maybe, all right, we need a closer, and he's the best thing that's out there.
Yeah. And maybe they thought, you know, they've been able to extend other pitchers, you know, careers or get some. I mean, let's not forget Felix Bautista himself is a career minor leaguer for a while before the Orioles were able to work magic with him. CNL Perez, same thing. Yennier Cano, same thing. So they've been able to kind of get the most out of some of these guys that they have added. And maybe they thought that they could add some time to the clock for Craig Kimbrel. And obviously that has not been the case to this point. That's been kind of a dud. The Soto
one hadn't been a dud. It's just been inconsistent, just like the team's been.
Well, you can't. We're in August right now, and they don't have a closer. No. I mean, they don't have a closer right now.
You can't. Yeah, Cordell, you can't trust. Just like you said, if Kimbrel comes in, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, this has nothing to do with what he's been through his career to this point.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but it is what it is today. It's what it is today. Today, right now, you can't trust him to go out there in the ninth inning. And I have no reason to believe that going into September is going to be any different than it is today. No. Honestly. Because when is the next time Hyde's going to feel comfortable throwing him in a high leverage situation to see if Kimbrel's bouncing back? When are we going to be comfortable seeing Kimbrel come out in the ninth inning? Do we know?
Well,
I don't.
The other thing is, I mean, all the pitchers keeping, you know, runners on base. I mean, they're a track. Yeah. The opposing teams are track teams when you're playing the Orioles. Get your track shoes yep. on because you're going.
410-583-1057 is the number. We're taking your calls next. You want to talk some Orioles baseball? We can do that. How inconsistent is this team? When's the next time you feel like you can trust Craig Kimbrell? We can talk about that. Want to talk some Ravens. I was out at Ravens practice yesterday. A good day for David Ajabo. We've been talking a lot about him. Not much positive, at least for me. But yesterday he showed a couple of flashes. Want to give him some credit for that. The deep ball was working for the offense. Kyle Hamilton looked really good as well. So you want to talk some Ravens. We can do that next here on The Fan while you're outside. 410-583-1057 is the number. We're taking your call starting now. Let's go to Baltimore and get Rashawn. Rashawn, what's going on?
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right, Rashawn.
Come on, yeah. Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, Trippy said y'all wasn't taking his calls or something, man. He's been trying to get through all week or something like that, man.
The phone's been buzzing. I don't know. He's got a call. He probably did. I think he hit me on Twitter yesterday, but he probably called when we was in a string of guests and all sorts of other stuff. You somehow get in. You got to tell him what the time frame is.
Well, get in where you fit in.
Yeah, you got to get in where you fit in, man. But we're on the Bulls, right?
Hey, Rashawn, you going to game Saturday?
I'm not sure about Saturday, but I'll be there Friday night, though.
I'll be there Saturday. Me and my family will be there Saturday night.
Okay. All right. I might slide through. They have the giveaway, too, that night, right?
Yeah.
Something to give them away.
Section 58 will be in.
Section 58? Okay. I'm holler at y'all.
Yeah. Row 22. You know,
row 22. All right. Hey, yeah, but listen, man. Rogers, man, I ain't ready to give up on this guy yet. I mean, this was his first start in Camden Yards, right? You know, they've been on that long road trip. When they traded him, we was on the road, right?
So.
Yeah. First career start at Camden.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely was, yeah. So,
always an excuse.
I'm not giving him that pass. I'm sorry.
Listen, I give him one more start before I pass judgment, but it's like some people online last night was like, man, like we traded for a Cole Irvin, basically. And, like, if you look at their numbers and their last three starts, man, Rogers got 7 Ks, 12 earned runs, and 20 hits. Now, let's look at Irvin last three starts. 7 Ks, 14 earned runs, and 17 hits. So, they kind of like the same people, though, honestly. So, I like it. I mean, like I said, I'm giving one more start just to see. But, you know, because his last start, it wasn't that bad. Remember that second start he had? Mm-hmm. I forgot who it was against. It wasn't that bad, though. So, I mean, give him a little bit more time. And yeah, like
but for Irvin, you didn't have to give up Stowers and whoever for Norby. Irvin.
And Norby. Yeah. We gave up Norby, man. Right. So, I mean, that's going to suck, man. But as far as Suarez, man, honestly, if we don't get Grayson back, hopefully do, though. But if we have to go with three-man rotation in the playoffs, I'm going with Suarez as number three over Kramer and over Rogers, man. Like, this guy, his last two starts been good. He got, 11 Ks, zero earned runs, and 6 hits. I mean, that's not bad at all. So
you watch Kramer tonight. He'll probably go 7 with about 2 hits. You know, when everybody kind of gets down on him, then he'll kind of jump back up.
Yeah, he just get down early. I mean, early, give up them runs early, man, like this last start, you know. So I don't know what got him. Hopefully he can bounce back because he had he had one good start since he's been back, and that was on the road against Seattle. He had them 8 Ks, man. You know, we won that game out there. So we can get back to the last year, Kramer, you know. Maybe we got, you know, I trust him in the playoffs. But and one more thing before I go, right? I hope we sign Santana back, you know, like a switch hitter with that type of power. And we already got Rutschman, which is a switch hitter. We got the goddamn boy, was that Sammy? I can't pronounce his last name, no.
Basayo,
yeah. That's another switch hitter. And when he come up, of course, he can replace Mountcastle at first because I don't see Mountcastle in this team long term, though. And we can possibly have three switch hitters in our lineup. And, like, that's not normal for a team to have many switch hitters, right? And they line up major league level like that.
Well, so, I don't think Basayo is a switch hitter. I think he just bats left.
I thought he was a switch hitter. He's not?
I don't believe so.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong. I could have swore he was a switch hitter, though. But either way, though, hopefully get Santana back, though, for the right price. Like you said, the guy with the Yankees will command, $500 million.
Soto?
And a team like Soto, yeah. A team like the Yankees or Dodgers, you know, they got endless money. And then they throw a number out there that we can't match. And yeah. I don't blame you, because, you know, we can't – you look at the the teams that was in the World Series last year. They didn't have a high payroll with the Diamondbacks and Texans.
But just think, Soto gets what? $50 million a year for 10 years, something like that? Is that what he gets? But I mean, if you're Santander and Soto's getting 50, you know, if I'm Santander's agent, you know, I realize I'm older, but I don't need 10 years, but I don't need $20 million a year. You know, I'm not $30 million a year less. So because of Soto, Santander's going to get more.
Let's go to Joe in Ellicott City. Joe, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Not bad.
Good. Yeah, two things. One, I don't give him really a pass on Kimbrel, like not having a closer at this point, because, I mean, I knew that going into the season. And, I mean, I like Vinny said, from his track record, his velocity down and what he did in Philly in the past couple of years, I just don't really think anybody thought that was a great move to begin with. So I don't really give him a pass on that. They had time to get a closer. And the second thing is, I did want to touch on the game. I was there last night. Didn't know your thoughts on this. I don't know if you heard this, but like during innings, people are just like constantly walking in and out of their seats. And I don't know if it's like a thing, like people just aren't watching, but it kind of disrupts like the viewer's experience. I know like at Ravens games, like during drives, like they'll make you wait in the tunnel. I don't know if that's a thing that like the owners look at, but for me, like it was a big disruption when you constantly have to look over people because like it's not in between innings. They're constantly like moving, standing up, getting out of their seats, and it was definitely like something I haven't noticed until more fans are coming now. So
you said in between innings they're doing that
during the innings.
Oh, during the innings. Yeah. Okay.
Well, if you're in row 50, if you're in section 57 Saturday night, and you're in row 21, don't stand up, right, Cordell?
I appreciate the call, Joe. I think that this is not necessarily that, the going back and forth through the aisle during the game, but there's a constant back and forth when it comes to, is it a good etiquette to stand up at sporting events? I've battled with this myself. I'm going to tell people this now. I'm a stand-up guy at football games. I don't sit down. When I go to football games as a fan, I'm up almost the whole game. And I'm giving it to everybody in my fan heyday. My team, your fans, it doesn't matter. Everybody's getting it. The one time that I went to M&T Bank as a visiting team years ago when they were the Redskins. It was one of the most boringest games of all time, first of all. We got check down Joe Flacco against, on that day, check down Kirk Cousins. It was one touchdown scored all day, which was a punt return. But yeah, I was letting anybody that was willing to listen to me have it on that day. I don't get upset when people stand up at games. I feel like if you're there to sit down, stay at home. We're here to be a part of the experience.
I've never been to a pro football game and sat in the stands.
Oh, you've never been at a football game as a fan?
Okay. A pro football. College, I've only been one. We had our reunion at Notre Dame, and I sat in the stands, and I hated it, you know, because you got to deal with
a lot. Football games are different.
Well, it's honestly a gamble, well, at least for football.
Yeah.
It's a gamble when you buy a ticket. And you don't know who's sitting around
me. Mm-hmm.
And I know who's sitting around me when I watch at home.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you got to be ready for it. Football's the one sport you kind of got to be ready for anything when you go. That's why, like, even for me, I would only take, at this point, I'm only taking my son to like a preseason game. And we're not even staying the whole time. We're in and out of there. We're not going to a regular season game. First of all, I only go to those types of games with my friends. You got to go with a certain group of people. It's football makes you think. Now, baseball, basketball, anything else, it's free game. You can kind of go with the family and all that, but not a regular season or playoff football game. Uh-uh. It's not safe.
Just because, like, when I go to the game Saturday night, I want to watch the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm into what's going on on the field. Not all the, you know, distractions around. And like football, I hate it. Like when I would sit in the press box at the Ravens games, it was cool because it was quiet. Right. And I didn't mind that at all.
410-583-1057 is the number. If you want to jump in, we'll continue to take your calls here after the break. That's next here on The Fan. you know, Kyle Hamilton had people holding their breath, using Zach Orr's words yesterday. He said that they were all kind of holding their breath when Kyle Hamilton went down a couple of days ago. And, you know, was today's Wednesday. So Monday, you know, he's out there, but he's not doing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, he was a full participant in practice. He's doing everything. He's on the field. He's not, and he's not just out there as an innocent bystander. I mean, he's
making plays.
I can't speak enough about how high I think of Kyle Hamilton right now. His play on the field is one thing, but I think he's the type of guy that you would want to be one of the pillars of your franchise, you know, even off the field. I think the world of the dude, and I'm really excited to see what year three looks like for him.
How's he compare with Sean Taylor, Cordell?
See, now you're going to get me in trouble. I mean, look, Sean is the creme de la creme for me. I was telling another media member about this yesterday. Like, Sean made it that the safety position became one of my favorite positions in football. So obviously they don't make them like that anymore. The Ed Reeds and Sean's, and, you know, as small as Bob Sanders was, yeah. I loved Bob Sanders too. And Polamalu, those type, you don't see that mold of safeties. But what I love about Hamilton is he gives you that big safety that, you know, probably is like, all right, you see him and he's got the size and you don't think he can run, but this guy can cover sideline to sideline. Mm-hmm. He'll hit you. He can cover. But he also brings that old school element. Well, it's not really. I don't want to make it seem like Sean played in the old school, but just that style of play from back then with this new age of being a hybrid type of player, being this ultimate chess piece. You can move him in the nickel.
Yep.
This dude could play outside linebacker and rush the passer if you really needed him to in those types of situations. He blows up screens. He can tackle in space. He can cover down the field. There's almost nothing. I think he could play almost anywhere on the field outside of, like, interior on the defensive line. Outside of that, I think Kyle Hamilton is the prototype football player. If you could go in the lab and build a guy like that, he would be kind of the ideal guy you'd build.
Yes, but today, no doubt about it. Because, like you said, Cordell, he can play everywhere. To me, he's their best pass rusher they got. He uses his hands better than anybody mm-hmm. rushing the passer. I love the kid, too. And I he's just a football player, and that makes plays.
Yeah.
And he's a guy, I think, Cordell, I don't know what you think, but I think he's probably the most important person on the defense. We talked about that the other day.
Yeah, no doubt.
With the things that he can do
mm-hmm.
and where he can play. Whereas, like, Roquan plays in one spot.
Right.
And whereas Kyle, you know, he can play in anywhere.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. Let's get Mason in Baltimore. Mason, you're on the fan.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
What's going
Good.
On?
Hey, man, living the dream. I'm calling in to talk about my concerns about the debt that the Ravens got. You know, there's a lot of marquee positions that we don't have any proven commodities other than Lamar, Kyle Hamilton, Roquan, Marlon now. But, you know, Marlon's been hurt. I think a lot of it, my concerns is linebackers. You know, I think that's why they brought in Eddie Jackson to kind of filled in, do that, you know, that Chuck Clark special.
Eddie's
you know,
a safety. Eddie's not a big guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say. I mean, he's physical, though. You know, you need somebody who can cover these tight ends coming off the line, that can put a body on them, actually knock the ball loose. You know, these guys, for the last couple of years, I feel like they've been trying to tackle by the shoestring. That's not Ravens football.
See, yeah, I appreciate the call, Mason.
Here's the thing, you know, and the guys that you're talking about is like with Roquan. Roquan's making $20 million a year. You can't pay another linebacker a lot of money, you know, and I think Simpson's going to be great, but then, you know, he's going to have to get paid in a few years. But I think Ross is, I like Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And Board, he's out right now, but, you know, Board's solid for them, and he's a good teamer, and that's all you're asking for there. Because at the inside linebacker spot, in reality, how much, unless you're an elite dude, how much are you really playing? You know, you're probably not playing on passing downs a lot.
Yeah, I mean.
So you can get by right, that way.
Barring injuries being an issue. Yeah, I mean, it is a concern. The depth there, that's been one. They don't have much behind Simpson and Roquan. I mean, I like Ross too, but he doesn't have a lot of in-game defensive experience for them to this point. He's been predominantly a special team.
Most teams don't in the league.
Right.
Most teams, third and fourth inside linebackers are special teams guys. Now, I think where they do have depth, I think they do have depth at defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have depth there. I think they have good depth there. And then in the secondary, corner and
safety,
they got plenty of depth.
I think his point with Eddie Jackson and Chuck Clark was more so to say that he's a box. He can play in the box.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, Eddie's been able to do that in the past. Let's go back to Florida and get Mike check in with him. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's good. Going on?
Yeah, I love your show. I've been an Orioles fan since I was 5 in 1958, and I'm so happy with what Ellis has done with just building the team back up, especially position players. But I think he's really falling short when it comes to developing and drafting pitchers, and I think it's really showing up now. I mean, we're stocked with dozens of position players that may make to the league. And the other point is the month leading up to the trade deadline, I think it was handled really poorly because every player on this team not named Rushman or Henderson was on the trading block. And they didn't know from one day to the next where they're going to have to move their family. And it's hard to have team unity when you don't even know if you're going to be on that team the next day. I just think they drug it out, waited to the last second, and then still didn't hit any home runs or really help our pitching that much. So I just think he's great. Ellis is great on you know, just numbers and analytics. But I think when it comes to human nature, I don't think he realized what that hanging over your head the whole month is team unity and team chemistry.
Well, what's
appreciate the call,
what's the problem,
Mike?
Now?
I mean, I don't necessarily agree that everybody besides Gunnar and Adley felt like they were on the trade block leading up to the deadline. I get what he's trying to say. Quite a few of them, maybe. I don't think Westberg was ever really in doubt that he'd be moved or anything like that. But yeah, was Mountcastle? Sure, probably. Was Mullins and Hayes eventually ended up going? Kowser probably was even a little uneasy. I don't think he was ever really going to go anywhere. But you just didn't know. I mean, same with Kjærstad, who's now back in AAA. So I understand a little bit of what he's saying, but all in all, that's kind of it's the big leagues, you know, and the Orioles are a contending team. They're looking to buy. They're trying to get pitching. So it's kind of what comes with being in the big leagues at that time. You don't know if you're going to be moved. That's just the life of a professional athlete. And I'm not dismissing what that may do to these guys mentally. But again, it's kind of just
it's every
part
sport.
Of it. Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's every sport.
It is.
And Cordell, would you agree? Because I was listening to Bowden and stuff on the Major League Baseball Network, and they were saying that the trade deadline needs to be pushed back to August the 15th because there's so many teams in the playoffs now, and there's so many, you know, you don't know buyer or seller. And by now, like if you looked at the standings now,
you have a way better idea than you did at the actual deadline.
Which was, what, July 30th?
Right.
So 2 weeks later.
And that's
later.
Just 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so 2 weeks later, how many more teams would have been sellers now than buyers?
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Gianna Han, who covers the Baltimore Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Get her thoughts on training camp to this point and the preseason as well. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.